David Price, OBE, is a learning futurist and a senior associate at the innovative unit of What We Do Things Differently in London, UK. He is the author of the best-selling Open, How We'll Work, Live, and Learn in the Future, about the global shift towards open organizations and systems of learning. At OEB, David spoke about the characteristics of the social learning that is taking place outside of institutions, which is autonomous, immediate, collegial, playful, generous, and above all, visible. David, can you tell us how this kind of social learning is having an impact on institutions?
What lies behind your question is that they're not being seen very commonly in formal learning, and I think that's true, and I think we have to learn from how people learn when they're not being forced to learn, so when it's not compulsory. So that was really what led me to look at what are the characteristics, because I'm like everybody else, I get seduced by the technology, but it wasn't just about the technology. There had to be something which, some values which it was tapping into. And I think to address your question directly, how you get, for example, more high visibility in the learning is clearly a problem for some schools in many parts of the world, because they see that as dangerous, as it potentially it could all go horribly wrong, and we've all seen cases where it has. But I think we have to recognise that when kids are not in school, they're doing this anyway. So it isn't as though we're inoculating them from that. I think we've just got to recognise, as Corey was talking about today, that this stuff is going on. So how can we find ways in which we can educate kids to use that technology safely and wisely? But let's connect up kids around the world and let's see that. And there are some great projects that are starting to do that now. And it's really exciting to see. Similarly, there's a sense of immediacy about that learning. You know, there's a bunch of surfers who claim that when they put a new video up of some new move, some new trick that they've got, it's gone around the world in 36 hours. So how do we compete in a formal curriculum sense when we are preparing kids for an exam that they may not take for 2 years? So to get that relevance, that immediacy, I think is really important. And I think too often educators fear that question that comes from kids when they say, why are we learning this? And I think we have to be honest. And if we can't answer that directly, then we really should be thinking about, is this the right kind of syllabus that we're giving these kids? So I think it's a shift in mindset to think about, how can we make that learning part of that real world? How can we help kids in the design of that learning to make sure it's tapping into the world that they're into when they're not in school? I mean, when I was 13, my son was 13, mm-hmm. I discovered that he was taking part in internet chat shows about libertarian politics in America. And he was a contributor. And I thought that was incredible. But his teachers knew nothing of that. Mm-hmm. And that was a whole other world mm-hmm. that he was doing, which is self-determined learning. So we have to think about, if this is now, we've passed that point where school is the only place where you could learn. When I was his age, it was the only place that you could learn. But the world's changed now. So I think we have to say, how can we make that learning tap into the world that these kids are inhabiting now?
And looking more specifically at higher education institutions, how might they respond to social learning realities?
Well, as I said in my presentation today, I think they've just got to look at what is happening, which is that people are voting with their feet, and MOOCs have changed everything now. And it isn't because I think MOOCs are necessarily the future, mm-hmm. but I think MOOCs send out a message loud and clear that if you're not engaging your students, then they can get what they need without physically being in the room. So that to me seems to be a challenge now for educators. I mean, someone's tweeted today, which I think is slightly unfair, because they're not here, but they said, you know, it's ironic that we've got people who are talking about the death of the lecturer by giving a lecture. But I think what we're seeing in the rest of the 2 days here at this conference is that there are much more kind of interactive models which are being adopted. And I think we do have to think about, it isn't so much that there isn't a place for direct lecture and direct instruction, there is. But I think we have to put it in a bigger context where young people, and I mean 20-year-olds and, mm-hmm. and of that age range, can actually see that the learning that they're doing can, it's a bit of a cliche, but can make the world a better place. And I think we don't tap into those values enough, it seems to me, at any level, secondary, tertiary, where, and so people then do that when they go home, you know, they go on the Avaaz website or whatever, you know, and they educate themselves about the global, the big global issues. And it's not to say, you know, some people do that very successfully in formal learning, but I just think that we've got a lot of catching up to do now to match the speed and the relevance and the authenticity of some of that learning which is taking place outside those formal places.
Thank you, David. Institutions do have a lot to learn from their students about the power and the potential of social learning.
Thank you.